Good morning, Nashville.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome to Uprising. We are here to get your day off to, we hope, an upbeat and positive start. I am Christy Shea Moore, and I'm the pastor at Bellevue Presbyterian Church. And I am joined by my partner, David Ross.
Hello. That is me.
And tell them how we know each other, David.
We are business associates at First Pres.
Wow.
Bellevue Presbyterian Church. I grew up in First Presbyterian Church of Bethlehem, PA, which is a different church. But it's all Presbyterian.
It's all Presbyterian.
It's all in the family.
Business associates. That sounds so formal.
I know.
Yeah.
I meant in a tongue-in-cheek way.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm the worship leader there.
Yes.
Been doing it for over a year now.
Yes, and we have had the blessing to be doing this show since October, and glad you have found us, and hope you will stay with us as we think we have a fun show for today.
Yeah.
But just kind of wanted to catch up with David a bit on some of the goings on in the world.
Yeah.
Because Dave doesn't sometimes pay attention to
the news. And now it's time.
I don't watch TV news generally.
To tell Dave the news.
I don't watch the news.
Cause let's face it, he doesn't know what's going on.
So,
it's depressing. I don't want to hear any sad news.
I don't. Well,
which is why I don't.
It's not too sad. At least my first part isn't.
Okay.
You know, I'm a big movie buff, and so I've been waiting for the Oscar nominations, and they came out this week. And for Best Picture, I don't think there weren't a lot of big surprises. And I've seen a lot of these. I really try to catch all the Oscar picks, the nominations, before the award show. But for Best Picture, we've got Call Me By Your Name, which I have not seen, Darkest Hour, and Dunkirk, and Get Out. I've seen all those.
I've only heard of Dunkirk, of all those.
Okay. Lady Bird, which I've not seen. Phantom Thread, which I just saw last night. The Post, The Shape of Water, and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Yeah, we saw that one recently.
We did. We saw that last Sunday night at our friend Andy's.
Shout out to Andy.
A big thanks to Andy because he is in some type of professional guild where he gets screeners.
Yeah.
But what was really funny was David said, hey, I'm going over to Andy's tonight to watch the Billboard Awards. So I knew that the Screen Actors Guild Awards were on Sunday night, so I said, are you sure it's not the SAGs? He said, no. Remember, you said, no, Andy's recorded the Billboard Awards.
And The billboards.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get a text message and your brain interpreted as something else.
No, I think you just didn't read the whole thing.
Well, no, because he sent me like, hey, we're going to watch Three Billboards, and my brain read it as The Billboards.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, we're watching The Billboards.
I've heard of the billboards. And then and when I ask about the SAGs, and he's like, no, do you want to? And he goes, we're going to watch Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
And it was awesome.
It was, and I predicted that it would win a bunch of SAGs.
I hope it does.
Awards, and it did. But one other story has kind of been in the news a lot. Have you heard that there have been a rash of young people, and some are even college students or in their young or early 20s, who have been getting very sick, and there have been some deaths associated with the Tide Pod Challenge.
Oh, Lord.
Apparently, everybody wants to be a YouTube star.
Yeah? So, how's that going for everyone?
It's not very well. They're extremely toxic, Tide Pods. And so I guess they're just biting into those things and recording it and very quickly have to go to the hospital.
I tried to find, after you told me about this, I guess they've pulled these videos off of YouTube because it's very hard to find one.
Yeah, you don't want to encourage that kind of behavior. And
Well, I told you this story. We had a Bible study recently, and I left afterwards and went to Kroger next door and to buy some things. And I was in the checkout line and noticed a guy walking out with something under his arm. And he says to the cashier, I'm going to go eat some of these and get YouTube famous. And I was like, is he talking about what I think he's talking about? And they're like, yep, he's got Tide Pods and he's serious.
It was so funny after we talked about this, because when you called me and I was in the car on the way home, I figured you were probably, you know, broken down on the side of the road or something. And so it was such a funny story.
No, kids be crazy these days.
And it's, you know, years ago, there was a danger associated with the Tide Pods for small children, because they were easy to open the container, and they do look a little bit maybe like candy.
Yeah, they look
brightly colored.
Good enough to eat.
And so now, because I use them, right, I really like Gain Flings. That's more my favorite one. But it's a lot harder to get into the package now. They've changed the whole closure system. But I've been worried about for the dogs. I have to really watch what my dogs might get into.
Yeah, for sure.
So
that's what's going on.
So that's what's going on. But when we talked about the movies, and particularly Winston Churchill's movie, and it's interesting because Dunkirk is also related to Winston Churchill's story in World War II, and particularly that battle. And we talked about this in an earlier show. I said I felt like the story of the city of Dunkirk and the Battle of Dunkirk was such a big thing in 2017. But there was a point where it looked like they were going to fail utterly, and some people did not have a lot of hope or trust or faith in Winston Churchill. And so we're going to talk a little bit about failure, about what it is to face failure, to experience failure, and how do we get back up from failure? How do we move forward or fail forward or fall forward?
Fall forward.
Forward.
I like that.
Yeah, I do too. We're going to, I think, here listen to a song now.
Yeah, let's kick it off that way.
So what do we got up? What are we queuing first?
I think we've got some Florence and the Machine.
Love me some Florence.
A song called Falling, which I had not heard until you introduced it to me.
Really, it was a new one for me too.
Yeah.
I love it. So let's listen to Florence tell us a little bit about Falling.
Cool.
I've fallen out of favor, and I've fallen from grace. Fallen out of trees, and I've fallen on my face. Fallen out of taxis, out of windows too. Fell in your opinion when I fell in love with you. Sometimes I wish for falling, wish for the release, wish for falling through the air. To give me some relief, because falling's not the problem. When I'm falling, I'm at peace. It's only when I hit the ground it causes all the grief.
Falling by Florence and the Machine. Really, really cool song.
That is.
That was a good pick by Christy. I liked one of the lyrics in that. Well, I liked a lot of the lyrics, but especially the one where she goes, because falling's not the problem. When I'm falling, I'm at peace. It's only when I hit the ground that causes all the grief.
Yeah.
That's a cool way to think. Because when you're falling, it's like, yeah, that's, you're like in a free fall. It's not, it doesn't hurt. It's not painful. It's like, I compared it to like,
exhilarating.
Yeah. I compared it to like drinking too much. You know, like it's fun and then you hit the concrete.
And I compared it to shopping too much and then getting your credit card bill.
There you go.
Yeah. Buyer's remorse.
So thinking about failure and trying things in the face of possible failure, or what do we do when we actually experience failure, and how do we get back up, and what kind of like presses us on? Like, we've had a show where we talked about resilience, and that's very much related to this.
It is.
But I guess we're thinking more about failure itself.
Well, we had our board in a Presbyterian church is called a session, so we had a session meeting earlier in the week that I invited David to come to. And
yeah, my first one ever.
Yeah, I can't believe after all this
born
time.
A Presbyterian.
Born and raised a Presbyterian. And it took him nearly 30 years to get to
I was going
to
say 29, but sure, nearly 30.
We're going to round it up for you.
Great.
So at the session meeting, though, I did something, brought in a blueprint that we had made of the church building 2 years ago when we were doing some dreaming about ways in which the church could live into a mission of being more of a neighborhood center for our community. And we'd had some ideas 2 years ago of kind of ministries, mission projects we wanted to pursue, and some of that has come to fruition. We have a Sunny Day Club that meets on Wednesdays, every Wednesday from 11 to 2, and that's for people who are in early stages of Alzheimer's and dementia, and it gives respite to their caregivers for 3 hours that they can go and run errands or just have time to themselves, go get a massage, get a haircut, just whatever that they need, you know, have a weekly time. And frankly, more churches need to be stepping up because there's just so many people that are suffering from dementia now and their caregivers have a really rough time. So that was one idea that we'd had that does take place. And we have other ways in which we've expanded now our early ed ministry, and we have a ministry with young people called, it's the organization we partner with is called Touchstone, but we have a youth group that meets on Wednesday nights. We feed them dinner, and David has helped out with the sum. It's a great group of kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a civil group, and civil, the CVL stands for character, values, and leadership. So just a lot of different ways that we had dreamed to reach people. And some of that worked, some of that has panned out, and some of it, you know, we've tried some things that just haven't taken root, or there's some things I really wanted to do that, like, we've been approached to be involved with some arts organizations, but it's sometimes building-wise, it's hard during the day with early education ministry to make everything work in the building. So there's some things that might be viewed as a failure, that some endeavors have failed. And you know, every time I start any kind of new ministry, it feels a little bit like a baby, at least to me. It's something I'm really invested in, and I want to see it grow and thrive and do well. And when it doesn't, it can be really, really painful. But yet, yeah. I don't want to be afraid to fail. And at the meeting, I sort of massacred the quote. Now I have the exact quote, so I won't do that here. But it was something that Michael Jordan had said many years ago in his basketball career. He said, "I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed." And that quote has kind of stuck with me for so long, because I think I don't want to be afraid to fail, and I think failure is a part of success, because you have to keep getting up and trying again, and that we learn from our failures. And I think it sometimes it strengthens us with determination. And you know, anytime you brought up the word resilience, I think, you know, you think about resilience training, that sometimes you need resilience, or I'm thinking of the word more resistance, but you know, when there's resistance against us in life, and just as there is on our body, sometimes that can make us stronger.
Sure.
So
kind of trains those muscles to get back up. And just to, let me piggyback off of the Michael Jordan quote. Well, you sent me a great video of Denzel Washington.
Oh, yeah.
Giving a commencement speech at University of Pennsylvania. And he talks about Thomas Edison, for example, who did 1,000 failed experiments, but the 1,001st was the light bulb.
Yeah.
Or something to that nature. And then professional baseball player Reggie Jackson has the world record for the most strikeouts, which is 2,600. But people know him for his home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Same kind of thing. That's a massive amount of failure.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody remembers him for that. They remember the great things.
Well, even Michael Jordan himself, he was cut from his high school basketball team.
Right.
Imagine the man or the coach who, has lived with that, thinking about, I didn't see the potential.
We've been working with a guy named Brian here at Hippie Radio, and he said a pretty awesome quote to me the other week about rejection. Because we're talking about music and auditioning for things and trying things in Nashville. And he said, rejection is protection. And at first I was like, what do you mean by that, Brian? And I wish he was here to explain it himself. But he goes, no, rejection is protection. And he means a divine kind of protection. So if you try out for something and you get rejected, like J.K. Rowling did, or the Beatles, when they were shopping labels and they got rejected, Brian was saying it's actually a form of divine intervention that it's protecting you from going down the wrong path at that moment in time. I was like, that's cool, man. That's a good way to think about it.
Yeah. And I, as you were saying that, I was just thinking also, to me, that God is so very close to the brokenhearted.
Right.
Or it could be that we reach out to God so much more when we are in the pits, so to speak, when we feel rejected and unloved and unlovable and we're horrible failures, we're never going to get back up again. I think also one of the most famous stories to me is of Steve Jobs, who he built Apple, and then there was a point where he had a clash with a person he had brought in. This guy used to be the CEO at Pepsi, and he brought him to Apple, and they had huge creative differences and did not see eye to eye, and Steve Jobs got ousted from his own company.
Right.
And I just can't imagine the pain of that, but yet he said he learned so much in that time and was determined to still do what he loved, because he said he still loved, the kind of creation he was involved in personal computers and taking it to the next level. So he worked for another company next, and then he went on and formed Pixar.
I've heard of Pixar. They're kind of big.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then eventually got back to Apple and introduced. I mean, we both got iPhones and I've got an iPad and just saw the Apple's coming out with their own edition of the Echo pretty soon.
Oh.
So I love Apple products. So Steve Jobs did some amazing things. But those stories remind me when I face my own rejections and failures not to give up. But you mentioned a little bit about, auditions and the kind of advice from Brian here at the station. But, where I would imagine just knowing, I always think about all of you that are such talents in this city in Nashville. It's got to be hard when you come with a dream. And so have you faced in that area?
Yeah, it's interesting. Music and the arts, man, it's just not for the faint of heart, put it that way. At least not if you're serious about it. But yeah, I've auditioned for music gigs, acting gigs since moving here to Nashville, and I could share a couple stories, but I guess I'll share the Joel Krause story. Joel Krause is up and coming country artist, and I somehow got in touch with, or I got to know one of his producers through some other guys who were starting a band, and that's just how Nashville works. You meet one guy, they introduce you to another, and that's how you get gigs. And this producer was like, hey, Joel Krause is going out on a tour, or a weekend, 3 days of shows. I think it was about Wisconsin or something. And he needed a keyboard player, and I play keys. And they needed me to learn, it was 9 or 10 songs in very short amount of time, 1 or 2 days. I think it was like one day they needed me to like learn all this stuff. And that's the, that's how it is in Nashville. Like guys here, many guys here are capable of pulling that off, no problem. You put charts in front of them, they can play it like right then and there. I need a little more practice time, but I accepted the gig. I was so excited to have such a cool opportunity. I was like, sure. And then the panic started to set in a little bit. And I even called my mom. I was like, Mom, how am I going to learn like 10 songs like overnight? She's like, just relax, get a good night's sleep before your audition and it'll be fine. And basically like I felt very, I practiced as much as I could and I showed up to the audition and I did my best. And I just wasn't jiving with the group. It was just kind of obvious. I was like trying to keep my volume real low on the keyboard so like they wouldn't really hear me, which is like not what you want to do at an audition. But that's just how I was feeling about it. And yeah, they called me the next day. They're like, so how do you think that went, man? I was like, not great, I don't think. And yeah, I didn't get the gig. And I felt like dejected after that. And yeah, because I just can't compete with a lot of just these great session guys in the city, and I don't know if that's even what I'm supposed to be doing, but I felt like I should have tried. I'm glad I tried it. I'm glad I tried like a professional level. Like the guy had just played the Grand Ole Opry a few nights before, and I got a taste real quick of like how good you have to be to play at that level of artist. I mean, it was a good experience.
Sometimes those experiences, though, also help us know. It's like once we can get over the feelings that we have of rejection or humiliation or feeling like we're not good enough, we can say, you know, okay, now how do I do better? How do I get back up and say, okay, maybe I've got more, you know, I've got more practicing I need to do, or I've got some more dues to pay. There's more, you know, work I've got to put into getting to the next level.
That's right. So you mentioned paying your dues, and I had some thoughts about that. And I'm curious to get your opinion, Christy. So my generation, I feel like we struggle a little bit or a lot of bit with the art of paying your dues. I feel like we lack a little bit of like mental toughness.
I think so. I think you give up too easily.
Yeah, I think so too. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate. I think it's partly, I don't think it's all our fault.
I think that your boomer parents handed a lot to you, or some of your Gen X. You got boomer parents, though, don't you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also just being millennials and constantly online and on social media, I think we're kind of like surrounded by pictures of success all day long, and it gives us great expectations.
Well, that's a good point.
And it's just the way it is. But I've been reading this book, The War of Art, by Stephen Pressfield, and I've quoted it before on this show, but he has some great words about enduring adversity. He is talking about the time he gets rejected by a movie producer who he was pitching a screenplay to. And he says that the professional can't let himself take humiliation personally. The professional endures adversity. He lets the bird doo-doo. And I am censoring.
Yes.
He lets the bird doo-doo splash down on his slicker, remembering that it comes clean with a heavy-duty hosing. Good imagery. And
sorry,
he says,
Steven.
He reminds the professional, reminds himself it's better to be in the arena getting stomped by the bull than to be in the stands or out in the parking lot. So I think that's good wisdom, especially us kids.
Yeah.
Get in the arena. Get knocked around a bit.
Arena.
It's good for you.
Better to be in the arena than in the stands.
That's for sure.
And sometimes I think failures happen because it's like I had something happen in college that when I initially gone to college, I was a French major, and I had done really well with French in high school, but I'd never been able to go to France in those years. I went to France years later, but I hadn't spent a lot of time immersed in conversation. And so for some reason, I think with having maybe a little bit too much pride that I'd done well in the high school courses, that I like jumped into the deep end into a advanced conversational class in my freshman year, my very first semester of college. Yeah, it was in the end, it was not smart because I had it was a French woman who was teaching the class, and oh my gosh, the people that were, it was a very small class, upperclassmen, and I mean, I was just 18 years old. You know, I I had never been out of the country. These were people that were seasoned travelers. Some of them had lived abroad or lived in France or a French-speaking country. And I just, I did really poorly in that class.
Yeah.
But also,
it's rough.
I was enjoying religious studies and starting to feel kind of a call into ministry. And I think it was also maybe something that helped me get directed in another area. But it was,
that's good.
So I became a religious studies major.
I think it's okay to fail in the classroom.
Yeah.
It's not the real world.
It's okay to fail sometimes in the real world, training. Too. Yeah.
So, Pastor Christie, does the Bible say a lot of things about failure? Is there?
Oh, yes.
What can we learn?
Absolutely.
In,
I mean, from
3 minutes.
Well, from pretty much Genesis, you know, 3 on, you get the story of the fall of Adam and Eve, and there are lots of failures, and some of them are very famous failures in the sense of the biblical characters we know the most, like, you know, Moses and David. I mean, David had a great moral failing with Bathsheba. Then you have Paul, you know, and the killing of Christians before he is converted by Christ. You have Peter, who denies Jesus and runs away from him at one of Jesus' worst moments as he's facing his crucifixion. And yet they are all people that, you know, God deeply loved and used, and we remember them as the greats of faith. So they were able to get back up and move on and do things for God. And I found a scripture that really speaks to me from the second letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. It's 2 Corinthians 4:7-9, that says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." And I like that I found like that same verse in this other thing I found online that puts it in the first person, that says, "I'm pressed, but not crushed, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed, and I am blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure, that his joy is going to be my strength."
Yeah, that's a song from...
Oh, really?
Trading My Sorrows.
Oh, cool.
That's a song from my youth group days.
I didn't know that. Well, that's neat.
Really?
Yeah. Nope, not at all.
We'll have to play it Sunday morning sometime.
Yeah, it'll be a good song. And I think sometimes that's the power of, you know, taking scripture that often was meant to be sung, you know, to help us, because music lifts us up so much. So did you find anything else from scripture or any words that speak to you about overcoming failure?
Yeah, there was a passage in Romans that was speaking to me. As Romans 8, verses 35-37. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." So I just think of when he's saying like we're killed all day long, or other translations like we face death every day. So I think a failure is something that
could be a kind of death.
Yeah. We're always at odds with something like all day long, and yet we have a way to overcome it that's available to us every single day.
And I think that when we, instead of shying away from the stories of our failure, are able to own them and learn from them and share them, I know how much I need to see and hear of stories of people who have faced really big odds but kept, persevering and moving forward. And, you know, one of the Oscar nominations is Darkest Hour. And I think about Winston Churchill saying, "Never, ever, ever give up." So Nashville, never give up. And brothers and sisters in Christ, don't give up.
Yes.
So where can I, we're out of time. I hate it that we never have enough time.
I know.
And we had so many other songs that we wanted to put in, but we have run out of time. But we have a website now. So where can they find us, David?
NashvilleUprising.com.
And we'd love to hear from you. You can also find us on Facebook. You can find us through the church website. And so also we'd love to see you at BPC at 10:30 on Sunday mornings.
Please join us.
And we just wish you a great week, and we'll be back next week. So stay strong, Nashville. Peace out.
Peace out.